Don't change God's word. And I'm going to try and do slides for the first time, so bear with me if it doesn't go all well. But I think the last 2 weeks when James especially took us through the Old Testament canon and the New Testament canon, I think it's been really good to get that, you know, almost once again to review and firm up in our own minds that this book that we believe in, this book that we trust our entire life with, that is complete. You know, this canon is complete. It's God's word. People throughout generations have tried to destroy it, but it has been preserved. It has been preserved for us through generations, and it's complete. And sadly, the word of God reminds us that, and it warns us, that people will continue to manipulate it, to cast doubt on his word, its accuracy, its completeness, and change it to how they see fit, because that's man. And that is really our subject today. We have a complete word of God, and don't change God's word. And Christ himself warns us that. So, you know, when he came into this world, in Matthew 7:15, we read of that verse from our Lord Jesus, "Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but are ravenous wolves." You know, we see that warning just going through the scriptures front to back. You know, we come to Paul, and in Colossians, he also warns us that beware against these empty words, the tradition of men and all the principles of the world that are against Christ. So we need to be aware as brothers and sisters, as we live in this world, that these false teachings continue in this world today. And it is God's word. You know, we look at it, and you know, I myself have come up with even people within Christianity who can slightly change words, you know, those subtle changes, and challenge you with. And then you look at, you know, you look at various resources, you look at online, you look through commentaries, but God's word tells us that it has the information for us to discern what is truth. You know, the Bible is the complete word of God, and for all those false teachings, there is, you know, that litmus test, so to speak, that tells us how do you discern what is true and what is false teaching. And maybe we can touch through that as well. But maybe at the outset, just to think of it, this is not a new age phenomenon, right? False teaching and casting doubt on God's word has been there right from creation. Maybe, and that's that verse I've just put over there, Genesis 3:1, you know, the serpent testing and the serpent questioning God's word right in the Garden of Eden. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? That little doubt that the serpent was able to inflict in his mind, you know, that led to the fall of man. And just as Satan cast that doubt from that very beginning, the word of God has continued to be, all throughout generations and even today, questioned, challenged, added to or taken away and misinterpreted. And as we looked last week at the close of the New Testament canon and some of the books as it reaches that almost like the curtain of the New Testament, you know, Jude is one of those epistles. And you come to the epistle of Jude, and you read even at that time what's on Jude's mind is false teaching. And he writes in verse 3, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should be earnestly content for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For there are certain men who have crept in unawares, who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, that aspect of denying who Christ is, that exists. It existed at the end of the New Testament canon, and it has continued to exist. But how wonderful, we can just turn to the Word of God, and the Word of God clearly highlights to us what is false teaching and who are false prophets. So let's take a look at that and read from Deuteronomy And Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we read these wonderful verses, quite messianic as well, where God is declaring that a prophet will be raised up. But at the same time, God clearly highlights who are false prophets. So Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18 onwards, I will raise them up, a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it to him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the one thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And really in those verses, I just want to probably just tease out three key themes that you can see over there. You know, one is adding or removing from the word of God things which God hasn't commanded. You know, his word is what he has commanded through the Spirit. And we've considered that, how every man of God who wrote it was inspired by the Spirit to write God's word. But if it is something that God has not commanded to speak, and then speaking in the name of other gods, speaking a different gospel. You know, we'll consider later on where Galatians, Paul says as well, you know, a different gospel. And the last one, I think, is probably the best one, because, you know, God himself saying, when the people question, how will we know that this is not the word of God? And it is, if the word does not come to pass. You know, making false predictions, making false statements that this will happen and that will happen. These are key things that we can see is a sign of a false prophet or a false teacher. And maybe just using that, you know, there is a lot of false teaching out in the world today, and maybe we'll have to spend a lot of time to look through all of them, but just in the few minutes we have, just want to look at some of the biggest ones out there. The biggest groups that probably have some loose connections to the Bible or use some references from it, but have distorted it over the years and have proclaimed complete false truths. And let's look through them. And just the three ones I want to look at is Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and Islam. All three have some connections, and in some ways they make references to the Bible, but distort it much beyond, as we know. So if you look at the first one, Jehovah's Witnesses, and just for context, you know, these are people who have taken the doctrine from the writings of Charles Russell, and really they've got the book called the New World Translation. And there is a lot of untruth in it, but just to give you an example of just John 1:1, I'm sure most of you know this. In John 1:1, the translation that they have done is, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And that just goes to show the subtle things that goes on over there to just bring down the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was a God. And that's how they've come to show who the Lord Jesus is. And if you look through the Watchtower magazines, the magazines that they distribute out there, one of the very common sentences which I've written is just put out over there. But you see that word in that last sentence, for that basic reason, his return could never be in the human body. You know, that bodily death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just put against it from Luke 24, our Lord Jesus himself appearing before his disciples and saying, behold my hands and my feet. Handle me and see. You know, these are eyewitness accounts that have been written down. But even so, we've got books that were written much later who have distorted the truth and have completely gone against what the Word of God says. And just to also point out, you know, they've had people, the so-called people from them, their prophets, they predicted the end of the world, you know, the second coming in over multiple years. And in those verses that we just considered in Deuteronomy, you know, when you have someone who's giving out things or events that will never come to pass, that is a sign of a false prophet. And so just in those very small words, you can see how this group have taken the word of God. And just by putting an extra A, changing a few prepositions, or interpreting things in a different way, have completely taken away the gospel that we believe in. The Lord Jesus Christ, His bodily death and His resurrection, who He was, the Son of God. And they've taken that away. Let's look at another one, and that is Mormonism. And Mormonism comes from Joseph Smith, the man who says that, you know, he received this special revelation centuries later, and he got it in his own sort of golden tablets or golden plates, right, given from Angel Moroni, and then he asked a scribe to write it down. And no surprises, those plates were never found because he had to be returned. Those plates had to be returned. So he's got this special revelation. And there is a lot of truth, a lot of falsehood that he has done and perverted the word of God in many ways. But just a simple example over there from one of the writings over there, which takes reference from Ephesians 2. And it says that, you know, you need to have grace, but also you need to do it yourself as well. So really, atonement and salvation, from a Mormon's point of view, is good works plus a bit of grace. And how at stark contrast it sits to what we read in Ephesians 2, that we are saved through faith by grace alone. It's nothing of ourselves. It is zero. Absolutely nothing from our own selves through which we are saved. And maybe lastly then, to look at Islam. You know, this religion has come about from a prophet who, from their so-called prophet, who have taken, got the words 6 centuries later. And 6 centuries since the New Testament canon and the Bible was formed, he comes along and he says he's got a divine revelation from the angel Gabriel. And that's what's recorded. And in many cases it aligns. You know, I've had so many Muslim friends over the years. They'll say, you know, Christians and Muslims, we are alike. You know, we believe in 50% of your Bible. We believe in everything you've written in the Old Testament. And we believe in Jesus as well. We believe he is a great prophet. You know, but then you come into some of their verses, and that is one quotation from Surah where he then goes on to say, you know, Christ the son of Mary, that is blasphemy that he is the son of God, and that Allah will destroy Christ, and he has all the power to do that. So on one side they can say, yes, we believe in Jesus, we believe that he's a prophet, but they have words like this, completely outright denying the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a stark contrast it is to those verses we have from Colossians, that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord Jesus Christ. So just some examples out there, just for us to see, of how people over the years have changed God's word, added to it, taken away from it, manipulated it, and thus it has caused over the years so many people, sadly, that have moved away from the words. And Paul himself, you know, warns us against this. And let's just read those verses from Galatians 1 and verse 6 onwards. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but they may be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, that different gospel, that false doctrine came right at that time itself when Paul was writing these letters and has just continued on over these so many years. And as we looked at those three examples, you know, you can just look at some of the key common threads that people, what false teachers do. A, they change the gospel of salvation by grace through faith alone. That's what we see in the Mormons. The second one, they deny the deity of Christ or any other member of the Godhead. And that's what Islam does. Complete, outright denial of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what we saw in the Jehovah's Witnesses, that they deny the bodily death and resurrection of Jesus. So in each of those, you can just see false truths that have been propagated through centuries by groups of people. And as I said, these are just three examples. You know, you just need to look into so-called Christendom and look at even over there how much the Word of God has been manipulated and changed over the years. But God's Word tells us, don't change God's Word. And it warns against it. You know, there is a great warning that we read. And let's read that when it comes to Revelation chapter 22. We have that great warning coming from none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. And then it comes into verse 18 and says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. What a warning. And a warning by the Lord Jesus Christ itself to anyone who rejects the sufficiency and the completion of the scriptures. And our Lord Jesus is saying, if there is somebody who does that, you know, that's not a small matter. That's not just, you know, a small viewpoint difference between one another. They are not Christians. They do not believe in him, and they will have no part in heavenly blessings. It's so sad that there are a lot of people who, you know, who want to, you know, we live in a day and age of, you know, of tolerance, and everyone wants to be, you know, don't want to offend others. And in many ways they will say, you know, we all believe in the same truth. And it's all roundabout there. And I'm sure we'll all, you know, we'll all reach. And that's a very common thing you see in society today. But you come to Revelation and the Lord Jesus himself is testifying to the fact that if anyone adds or takes away, it's not a small thing. They will not have eternal life. They'll be removed from the book of life. They will be out of the holy city. They will never enter heaven. And that warning that we read over there is not a new warning. You know, you can read it from Deuteronomy 4. And there, even in the old covenants, it was given, you shall not add unto the word or diminish from it. It's a commandment that God has given, that his word is complete, and it is a revealed word of God, and it should not be added to or taken away. There's really two warnings very clearly spelled out over there for us. That neither should you add, nor should you remove. And I was thinking of, you know, that great term over there, sola scriptura. Isn't that what's captured over here? That it is the authority of the scripture is laid out plainly for us. This word of God is complete. It is the sole scripture. But it's powerful that when we see our Lord Jesus in verse 18, just want to dwell a bit on these verses. You know, the Lord Jesus is saying, I, Jesus, I am testifying this to you. And he is declaring this. You come to the New Testament and in the Gospels, and when he healed the crippled man, you know, there was the Pharisees and all come and challenge him. And he says that if you don't believe my words, you look at John the Baptist, and he has testified of me. But my words are more greater than his. Now how wonderful that we can trust on our Lord Jesus, and he has testified to us. When he was on this earth, he testified that he was the one that's come from the Father. And it is only through him and him alone that we can reach the Father. And the message that's given out over here, the message that he is saying to every man that heareth the words of this book. And we can think of it in that current context when John would write it. It may have been a circular letter. It would have gone to all those churches. And as we are studying in the book of Revelation, we can see false doctrine that was creeping into those churches. So yes, they would have been believers. They would have been false teachers as well, people who are being misled. But also in people who have never ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is writing it to every person. For the believers who have been strayed away, it's almost like the challenge that the Lord gives to the church at Ephesus. Remember your first love and go back to it. And it is sad that even Christians can get strayed away with small things, and especially in the day of information that we live, to look at so many things. I was sharing with James the other day where I have a very close brother in the Lord, and he's completely plagued and completely confused with the concept, with the truth of Trinity. And when something like that shakes you, you know, and he has got so many verses to look at, and he just has completely tied himself in knots, that he's lost fellowship and he's moved away from the assembly. And it just pointed to me as well, you and I, we are all can be succumbed to this. Because there's constantly information out there online through other people that you read, different books, and just testing you and shaking you. But over these last few weeks, each of the truths that we have tried to look at as an assembly, you know, that is to show to us that we need to rest in this word of God. And I have absolute confidence in it. You know, we may not be great debaters, we may not be great apologists to stand and debate to someone who has come to take us down. But in our own hearts, to be confident that when somebody asks us, that this word of God that we believe is complete. It does not to be, there's nothing to be added. There is no further revelation. In the first century, in the fifth century, or the sixth century, or even today, there is no further revelation. It's the complete revelation has been given to us by our Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit, that it has been covered for us. And really over here, as we come unto those end verses, we see over there that it's writing in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And what a warning it is. It's a warning to say to each of the hearers of the words that God's word is complete. But for those of us who don't believe in it, it's a warning that Christ is returning. I mean, he will return in judgment. For every group out there that has manipulated and intentionally, you know, the ones who have taken people away from the truth, there is a judgment awaiting them. Because they have added to the word of God, or taken away from the word of God. And there is a judgment awaiting them. But for those of us who trust in the Lord Jesus, for those of us who have really believed in his word, that last verse in verse 20 is so beautiful. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. A great hope that we have, that we can trust in every promise that the word of God has given us. And we can trust that it holds true. Let us not change it. Let us not be rocked by things that come from various directions. Let us believe that this is complete. And how wonderful that this itself gives us the ammunition to dispel and to throw away false teaching and false words. And we can look unto him, and we can look at these warnings that he has given that just remind to us that he takes it seriously. And so we should as well. To everyone out there, when we have friends, when we have people from different backgrounds, who even slightly want to challenge the authority of the Word of God, let us each of us be strong to stand against it, to be defenders of this truth. And how wonderful that we can just echo that verse once again to say, just do not change God's Word. Shall we close with a word of prayer, and we'll sing one more time.